The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Kurt Olson, it's time for Hometown Radio with Dave Congleton on News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
Here we go, 3:07 on the Central Coast. It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2026. I'm Dave Congleton, along with the legendary Kurt Olson. Good to have Kurt back in the studio with us. We are with you all the way until 7 o'clock on this broadcast today. It just sometimes it works out this way. We have a lot of focus on our friends in the nonprofit community. At 4:05, Wendy Lewis from Echo checks in. They have a big day planned up in North County on Thursday. She'll talk about it. After that, our friends from Slo for Home will join us. They have an event coming up later on in the month as well. At 5:05 is Trevor Norcross from Gala. We'll remind you a little bit about Gala, but Trevor really wants to focus on this new report by the Heritage Foundation. He claims that there's a move afoot to eliminate competitive girls' sports. He'll explain why. Clara Folks at 6:05 reminds us of the danger of flock security cameras. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. First up, this is more than appropriate to have Jane as our first guest, since we have such a heavy emphasis on nonprofits today. Jane has visited this show before in her capacity of a staff member at Lumina Alliance, but now Jane and some other ladies in the community have gone out and they formed a new organization called Change Collective Central Coast. We're going to talk about the status of nonprofits and what Change Collective is trying to do. Why am I talking when Jane's here? Jane, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
See you too.
So much to talk about. Let's start with we've not talked about Change Collective before. How old is this? Well, it's a business.
It is a business.
Consulting. Explain.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, so we are a consulting firm that specializes in supporting nonprofits. We incorporated back in January, but we're growing. So I like to say that we help nonprofits with the things that they struggle with, namely creative and communications, strategic fund development, and growth strategy. So our job is to really help nonprofits focus on their mission, which is where their passion lies, and we help get them there. So
how did this come to be?
We all spend our careers in the nonprofit field, and due to a variety of circumstances, we all were kind of looking for a change. And so I was consulting down in LA. I joined the board at Lumina after I left, and got reconnected with Debbie Nicholas, who ran the foundation at French Hospital.
Sure.
And then with Krista Elmore, who worked for a national event and fundraising company, who was back in town. And then I just started talking to them and to Mariko Kriege, who's our fourth partner, who's a graphic designer and grant writer. And I just said, hey, you know, would you want to start this thing together to support nonprofits? There are a lot of consultants in town that work with nonprofits, but there's no real one-stop shop.
So, and what do you mean one-stop shop?
So we provide grant writing support, event planning, and execution. Chris is actually an auctioneer on stage, which is pretty fun. We do executive and leadership coaching. We'll do interim executive support as needed. We do board training and governance guidance, strategic planning, needs assessments, communications marketing. And so when we work with a client, we kind of assess their global needs and prioritize what they want to work on first. But it leads to a continuity and a streamlined support.
All right. But unlike, say, Spokes or SCORE or
sure.
Community Foundation, you're not free.
Correct. We are not free. Fair. We are for profit.
And, that's fair.
And we serve a different need in the community. So Spokes is wonderful because they're a free resource for nonprofits. And you can go and you can learn from other executive directors and their round tables, or you can learn how to be a board member. The Community Foundation is a funder, so they partner with community members, they have endowments, and they help funnel money into the community through grants and what have you. And so our job in partnership with them is to support through these services that we provide.
Jane Pomeroy with us from Change Collective. And explain the title, Change Collective, interesting name.
Yeah, so initially we wanted to start a cooperative business. Collaboration is really important to us, and so is equity. And ultimately, we became an LLC mostly because of the paperwork. It's just easier to start an LLC. But we are hierarchically flat. We are, I guess you could say, employee-owned. We're a partnership, all equal partners. And that notion of equity is really important to us.
What's your website, please?
ChangeCollectiveCC.com.
Well, according to ChatGPT, which we all know to be so reliable, I asked how many registered nonprofits are there currently in San Luis Obispo County, just in the county. The ChatGPT claims 2,100 organizations.
Yes, that could be true, but there are about 1,000 active nonprofits operating in the county.
And what is active? What separates the active from the inactive? What's the criteria?
Money in, providing services, filling a need in the community.
And some are just like a little mom and pop operation. Somebody hangs out a shingle. It's just them.
Yeah, or they may not be providing a service. It could be inactive.
Is the number up or down? More nonprofits, less nonprofits, in your opinion?
You mean an increasing in number?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. A while back, there was a statistic bouncing around that we had more nonprofits per capita than any other county in California.
I've heard that forever.
I'm not certain it's true, but we're up there for sure.
Well, here's my theory on that, is that people come here and they need to figure out they want to stay. Maybe they go to Cal Poly or their spouse. Mm-hmm. What am I going? Oh, I'll start a nonprofit.
Yes.
Does that make sense, Jane?
We're a very philanthropic community, and folks want to give back, and a lot of folks who have good intentions choose to start a nonprofit, maybe possibly without doing their research first, to see whether there are existing nonprofits out there providing a service that they want to provide. And so I just recommend anybody out there who wants to give back, first see what's out there, reach out to your local nonprofits, see if you can volunteer or start a program under their umbrella. It's a better use of resources, and then nonprofits aren't competing with each other so much.
I'm certainly not going to mention names, but as someone who sits in this chair, I interview a lot of nonprofits, and I often wonder, aren't you overlapping? I never ask them, but aren't you overlapping this? There does seem to be overlap in certain areas.
Yeah, there certainly is a little overlap. I will say that the nonprofits in our community collaborate a lot. Yeah. They all know each other. They're all friends, and they work together through multidisciplinary teams or collaborative efforts to meet the need in the community. And the reality is there's more need than can be provided for.
Well, you got plenty to talk about. Jane Pomeroy is with us, co-founder of Change Collective Central Coast. Short break. We'll pick up the conversation. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC.
1, 2, 3, 4! It's Beatlemania all over again with the Fab Four, the ultimate tribute to the Beatles. The LA Times says the Fab Four is the best Beatles show in the world. Experience the greatest music of all time. It's a show for the whole family, a show you won't want to miss.
The Fab Four, August 15th, Bina Robles Amphitheater. Tickets at Ticketmaster.
920 KVEZ invites you to the 13th Annual Mac and Cheese Fest. It's back at Avila Beach Resort. September 19th, the beach turns into the cheesiest place on the Central Coast. Local chefs battle it out with their best mac creations. Local wine, beer, and spirits. Live music. A plate of mac and cheese that might just change your life. Powered by a Malahi Ford, just off the 101 on Traffic Way in Arroyo Grande. Visit MalahiFord.com and save. Malahi Ford, where good things are happening. Grab your ticket. tickets now at 920kvec.com and on the KVEC app.
Hey, it's Andy Morris from First Look, and I want to say thanks to everybody who dropped by the show today to share some information. We got to talk with the Spark Joy folks doing the big fundraiser at Letitia Vineyards and Winery for Wood Humane Society. Also got to hear from Wendy Lewis and Echo. Anita Schauer checked in with us this morning. We also heard from the CHP, and of course, Brick and Mortar Catering was in to talk about the big Mac and Cheese Festival. They're a part of it this year. Tomorrow, we've got a fun morning plan for you, including Vitalant and Big Brothers Big Sisters. We'll see you starting at 6 on First Look.
Knowing KVEC is in the palm of your hand is knowing you're connected anytime. Download the free app and listen to 920 KVEC.
This segment, I give a shout-out to my real estate buddy, Lindsay Harn. You know Lindsay. With Christie's International Real Estate. If you don't, you really should, particularly if you're thinking of selling your house. Or if you're new in town and you're looking to buy a house or you just want to go upscale, this is the agent for you. I remind you, Real Trends is currently ranking Lindsay Harn number one agent in the area. She's selling approximately 2.7 times more in total sales volume per year than the number two agent in the county. She's selling approximately 2.2 times more homes per year than the number two agent in the area. I've worked with Lindsay for the last 5 years. She's going to be with us next week. Please believe me when I tell you she is the real deal. Find out for yourself. Just go online. Check it out, lindsayharngroup.com. Grab the phone. Give her a call, 805-441-7744. Yes, please. Tell her Dave says hi. After that, go ahead, start packing. You'll be moving fast. License number 01868098.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October sky.
Tomorrow's History Day, Dr. James Papp talks about William Mulholland. I think we all know that name. Eric Bruhn will be here with some World War II history. Michael Dunn talks about neural technology. Oh, Lord, you don't even want to know what that's about. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are back with Jane Pomeroy, one of the co-founders of the Change Collective Central Coast, who's about to remind us of her website.
ChangeCollectiveCC.com.
So I'll talk a little bit about what we know through the research, the impact that nonprofits make in the community.
So locally, nonprofits employ 10,000 people. They serve 1 in 5 residents, and they generate close to $1 billion in annual revenue for our local economy. So I think often we think of nonprofits as charity, but in reality, they're infrastructure. So traditionally, the government funds nonprofits to do the work that they don't have the capacity to do. We are the safety net, or I should say nonprofits are the safety net organizations that fill the needs that the government can't.
But certainly that has changed in the last year or so.
It has. I wanted to mention that the proposed rule changes from the Office of Management and Budget, which would require oversight from political appointees, which has never happened before. And essentially, it politicizes federal funding. So traditionally, in order to receive federal funding, nonprofits have to go through a rigorous grant application process with panel reviewers that are scrutinizing these applications to make sure that they're in line with the proposal requirements, that the nonprofits have the capacity to do what they say they're going to do, that they're going to impact the most people with the fewest resources, essentially. The proposed rule changes, which have not gone into effect yet, would require political appointee oversight. And those appointees would be responsible for proving that grantees can demonstrate that they are advancing the president's policy priorities.
Yep.
And so, in effect, what that means is, and this started over a year ago, but nonprofits are scrambling to do things like cull trigger words from their grant narratives.
Because no DEI.
No DEI.
Yeah.
No words like equity, inclusion, institutional, pregnant.
Yeah.
and, you know, program specialists from these federal grants that nonprofits have relationships with are calling nonprofits and saying, off the record, you need to pull these words from your narratives and from your policies, because the government is sending AI bots through to automatically eliminate any organizations that are perceived to promote a DEI agenda.
Wow.
And so in practice, what this means is that nonprofits who are awarded federal grants are now being asked to sign promises, essentially saying that we will align ourselves with the president's policy priorities, and they'll list what those are. That executive order came down from Pam Bondi's office. It has been stayed. And so as we apply...
Meaning the federal court said...
Okay. This is not going into effect yet. It has to go through the courts to determine whether or not it's constitutional. So we just applied for a federal grant on behalf of one of our clients, and we had a conversation with them about whether or not they wanted to go through with the application process, because in there was language saying if the stay order is lifted, you will then have to comply with these requirements that are in conflict with their mission. So it's really a challenge right now.
And what did they say without revealing the group?
They decided to move forward with the application and hope that the stay was not lifted.
Hmm.
And so boards are having conversations now about whether they are comfortable moving forward with applying for federal grants. But for most nonprofits who receive those grants, it's not an option because it makes up 75, 85, even in some cases, 90% of their funding.
Yeah, if you don't take the federal money, that means you have to go out and do fundraising.
Yes.
And you're all competing for limited dollars.
Exactly. And so, and really, that's where we come in. So we help nonprofits diversify their funding, because right now, it's really essential. You need both private and public grants. And when I say private, I mean foundation grants. Mm-hmm. You need donations from individuals and businesses because you need to be able to weather these ever-changing policies that are coming down from the government.
Jane Pomeroy, co-founder of Change Collective Central Coast. So on one hand, you've got the challenge from government funding. But I'm curious, Jane, on the other hand, I wonder whether or not people are... private individuals are giving as much mm-hmm. as they used to because of inflation. There was a report I heard on the news this morning that credit card debt, mostly groceries, bills, and gas, all-time high, because people are just whipping out the plastic to try to get by.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that is influencing private donations, at least
yes.
locally.
We have seen is that after a big political shakeup or shift, donors will come out in force, and they'll give one-time donations to their nonprofits of choice. But I think over time, over this past year with inflation, philanthropy has been impacted, and people are giving less because they're feeling it more in their wallets. And I also want to mention that that's impacting the clients that nonprofits are serving. So the need is increasing, right? People who were getting by now are choosing between groceries and rent.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happening is that with these federal funding cuts, we're losing programs that were essential to feeding children, for example, like SNAP and other similar programs. So everybody's hurting right now. And so I guess my ask to the community is, if you've been thinking about giving, now is the time.
Otherwise, I suspect some of these nonprofits aren't going to be around a year from now.
Yes. And, you know, my lens, my background is in domestic violence and sexual assault crisis services and prevention services. And I know that when the federal funding cuts came down last year, one rape crisis center in California closed permanently. Every county is required to have a rape crisis center. So that I unfortunately can't remember which one it was, but that county no longer has a rape crisis center as a direct result of these cuts.
All right, we're talking. Is there any? You got to give me some good news.
Good news is nonprofits are here to stay. They're doing incredible work in the community. A lot of them are thriving because the community has stepped up to support them.
What are the traits in your nonprofit work and now with Change Collective, Jane? What are the traits of a successful nonprofit? Are there common threads?
Yes. So getting really clear about your mission. So what is the need in the community that you are uniquely positioned to address, and clarifying that in your messaging and using that as your guiding light in the decisions that you make so that you don't get mission creep and overextend yourself. And when you're really clear about your messaging to the community, it's easier to bring people on board because they understand what it is that you do. Healthy nonprofits have a robust board of directors, meaning anywhere from 10 to 15, sometimes more, solid directors who are engaged, who give to the nonprofit, who get donations to their nonprofit.
And is it harder to recruit board members now for nonprofits?
It can be, yes. Everybody's busy. Yeah. Everybody's pulled in a million different directions.
And the same person is being asked to be on four different boards.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially in our small town.
Yeah.
And then healthy nonprofits have diversified funding, so they don't rely, you know, solely on a large grant or on a fundraising event. Yeah.
Well, the fundraising, the thing I've noticed is that ticket prices are going up mm-hmm. for events. And I always caution the nonprofits that you can only go so high.
Yes.
You can charge $175 thinking you're going to get more money, but I'm not sure you're going to get it from beyond your hardcore people. So, like, for example, Slow for Home is coming at $430, $75. Mm-hmm. Even I could afford that.
Yeah.
And as a result, because they have a lower price, I think they'll do better overall mm-hmm. than if they tried to raise. I mean, you're the professional.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So next time we'll bring Krista on because she's the events expert.
Yeah.
But it depends on the purpose of your event. So events often have multiple purposes. One is to spread the word in the community, get engagement, bring people in who may not be familiar with your organization or who wouldn't otherwise give. People like events. They like to show up and yeah. dress up and have fun. The other primary purpose is to raise money. So if your primary purpose is community awareness, lower that ticket price. You'll bring in a more diverse group of people. They may become your monthly donors down
That's
the
right.
road. Or they may volunteer or give in other ways.
All right, off we go. I'm going to ask Jane to stick around for one more segment. Co-founder of Change Collective of Central Coast, we're looking at the status of the nonprofit community locally. We got news, traffic, weather, back with more. This is Hometown Radio.
Researchers looked at national health data from more than 111,000 adults over several decades. A study published in the BMJ Journal found that people who did a greater variety of physical activities had a lower risk of dying early than those who stuck to fewer types of exercise. In fact, those who mixed up the routines the most had about a 19% lower risk of death. Walking showed some of the strongest benefits, while running, racket sports, and weight training were also linked to better health. Experts say different types of movement may help the body in different ways, including heart health, strength, and overall fitness. The good news is you don't need an extreme fitness plan. Even adding simple activities like walking, biking, stretching, or light weights may help. So if your workout routine has grown stale, try mixing things up. It could help keep you healthier long term. With this Medical Minute, I'm Alex Stone.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. U.S. Marine and veteran Robert Gilman on a flight back to America after his release from a Russian prison. Gilman was wrongfully detained, the State Department says, on disputed charges for more than 4 years. Kieran Ramsey is the chief investigative officer of Global Reach. He advocated for his release and represents Gilman's family and says he was abused and is gravely ill.
Unfortunately, it took a critical health situation for Mr. Gilman to be secured and put on a U.S. government plane and sent home.
President Trump says he talked with Russia's president and he agreed to the humanitarian release. More than 200 people are confirmed dead in Colombia following yesterday's powerful earthquake. Crews still digging through rubble to find survivors. Tomorrow will usher in a triple cosmic spectacle. In addition to a parade of six planets lining up across a pre-dawn sky, there will be a total solar eclipse. And researchers say the best meteor shower of the year will serve as the encore. This is ABC News.
This is Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group in Pismo Beach, your local certified financial planner professional, where for three decades we've been helping people just like you plan and succeed in retirement. Here's today's Wall Street Journal market update on KVEC News Talk 920.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks took a tumble on more uncertainty over Iran and rising oil prices. The Dow lost 184 points. The S&P fell 25. The Nasdaq gave up 159 points. The price for a barrel of Brent crude briefly jumped over $90 before settling at 88.91. Swiss sneaker company On Holding fell 20% despite reporting a better profit for the latest quarter than analysts expected. It gave a forecast for upcoming revenue that fell short of analysts' expectations. Vietnamese aerospace company Vinspace has signed a contract with SpaceX to launch its first satellites in 2027. Toyota is recalling 2025 and 2026 Camry vehicles because the 7-inch display screen could fail when starting the car, knocking out power to things like the seatbelt reminder and hazard lights. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
That's the Wall Street Journal market update brought to you by Joe Brittingham of Brittingham Financial Group. Now is the time to take action. Visit BrittinghamFinancialGroup.com for your complimentary portfolio review. Joe Brittingham is a registered representative with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC.
McCarthy's Cash for Cars offer has been going strong for the last 5 months. Right now, McCarthy's lot of locally owned cars is full. McCarthy's likes buying these cars because they're a great car to sell. Knowing the history of a car makes sure you're getting the right car. These cars were serviced locally and owned by your neighbors. Most of them are under $20,000. Some of these cars are half of the cost they were 4 or 5 years ago, brand new. In an uncertain economy, it's a smart idea to buy a clean used car. No long-term contracts, no high taxes or dealer add-ons to haggle about. McCarthy's goes through each car so you get a certification, reconditioned, capable car. McCarthy's offers financing options. They have a broad selection of EVs, trucks for work, and cars for commuting. Visit them at McCarthysSLO.com.
Get your next set of keys at McCarthy's.
Beaches in the 70s and maybe some marine layer at the beaches today. And that's news, traffic, and weather together, brought to you by McCarthy's. Their inventory loaded with cars, trucks, and SUVs, many under 20K, and most locally pre-owned. McCarthy's, SLO.com, or stop by at 43 Higueras, San Luis Obispo. I'm Kurt Olson, now back to Hometown Radio with Dave Congleton on News Talk 920 at FM 96.5 KVEC.
This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. After the next break, we're going to open up the Congleton file. There's some things I want to share with you. We're back with Jane Pomeroy, co-founder of the Change Collective Central Coast. Jane, for folks just tuning in, give us a brief reminder of this new group.
Yeah, so we are a consulting firm. We offer support services that nonprofits may not be the best at, including creative and communications, marketing strategy, fund development support, including grant writing, major gifts, events, and even auctioneering. And we do growth strategy and leadership development.
Well, this you've already addressed this, but let's repeat this. The person must just be tuning in. On the Frederick Law text line, she wants to know the difference between what you do and Spokes.
Yeah, so Spokes is a nonprofit organization. They provide free resources and support to nonprofits. They are, I guess, in a sense, a sister organization to ours. They provide roundtables for boards and executive directors. They can provide you with template policies and procedures. They host workshops in town. We actually do the work. So we, if you come to us and you say, I need you to write this grant, we will write a grant for you. We are a for-profit consulting firm, so we provide the services to get the work done.
Do you give a sliding scale for struggling nonprofits?
We do not, but we are happy to negotiate.
Okay. Well, let's combine these other two texts here because they kind of overlap. On the Frederick Law text line, Charles is in a bad mood. This does not make me inspired to give. Well, she's not asking you to use her group to give, Charles. But let's broaden it with the second text is the issue of accountability, defending the government requirements because nonprofits need to be held accountable everywhere.
Yes, I'd love to address that.
Okay.
I think what folks may not understand about nonprofits who receive federal grants is that they are subject to profound scrutiny. They are accountable for every penny. And in order to receive funding, they have to invoice for it first. So they do the work first, then they tell the government what they did. And then if the government approves it, they will write a check and send it to that nonprofit. Oftentimes, the government will say, I don't understand what you meant by this, or this wasn't in our contract, or please explain this, or we're not going to fund that. So already nonprofits are subject to immense scrutiny, and what these changes create is a politicization of nonprofits. So by law, nonprofits are not allowed to be political. Yes, they can lobby to promote their mission in Sacramento and D.C., but they cannot endorse a political candidate. They cannot denounce a political candidate. They are here to provide neutral services to the community and to meet community needs.
But unfortunately, the current federal government is not being neutral. They're the ones being political.
Correct.
I'll be political. I assume it's different coming out of Sacramento. Trying to get state funding is probably easier.
Well,
but probably not as much.
So Gavin Newsom did backfill, for example, some VOCA funds, the Victims of Crime Act funds that were cut with his May revise budget. So the state is trying to backfill some of the federal cuts, but they can't do everything.
Hmm. What's the call to action?
So we put together this cute little quip called Save Nonprofits. There are a lot of things you can do to support. So S stands for support. You can give to a nonprofit. No gift is too small. $5 a month goes a long way over time. Find your passion and support it. You can act by donating professional skills. A lot of nonprofits need professional skills. If you're an attorney, for example, looking to give back, you can support by joining a board and offering your services. They need accountants, marketers, HR professionals, tech experts. Giving of your time is huge. Get visible. Invite a local nonprofit to your next team meeting at work. Or if you are part of a Rotary or Kiwanis Club, invite them to come and speak. Help them raise awareness. And then empower. So lend your voice as a business leader if you're in business. Use your platform to speak on their behalf at a supervisor's meeting or city council. Nonprofits need their community right now.
All right. We're in conversation. Jane Pomeroy. We got Jim in Santa Maria. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Dave. Hey, I just jumped on the conversation. What is her organization about?
Hi there. So we...
What's the website?
The website is changecollectivecc.com.
Let me see if I can explain it. It sounds like you're a consulting group for local nonprofits.
Correct.
You help nonprofits in grant writing and...
Fund development. Yes.
Auctioneering.
Yes. We help
strategizing.
We help them grow. We help them meet their strategic goals.
Yeah.
I misheard and I thought it said it was a for-profit, but I would like to get your email and then I would like to donate to your nonprofit.
Oh, thank you for donating. We are actually a for-profit consulting firm that supports nonprofits.
Okay, but, I did hear you correct.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to donate to a similar organization, you can donate to Spokes.
Yeah.
Spokes?
Yeah, have you heard of Spokes, Jim?
I never have.
Well, you should Google Spokes, San Luis Obispo County. They're a nonprofit. And they're free. And they do good work, too. I appreciate the call. Spokes. We got a couple of minutes left with Jane Pomeroy. We're going to use Luma because we both have experienced Luma, in effect, somehow I've got talked into doing. I'm going to do the fashion show.
Yes, you are.
In October.
I am so excited for that.
I guess Jeanette Trumpeter wasn't available.
Oh, darn.
Actually, why is Lumina so successful? Are they successful?
They are successful. In terms of financial. I'm a little biased. I mean, I spent most of my career at Lumina Alliance. I ran Rise. I was the executive director of Rise. I helped with the merger. I worked there for many years. But I think what Lumina has done really well is a number of things. They've diversified their funding. They have an incredible board of directors that's super engaged and supportive. They have built a wonderful internal culture that emanates out into the community.
Explain. Interesting phrase.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know Jenny Adams. Yeah. She's very intentional about the culture, and they've got their core values, which I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember all of them right now, but they're things like put people first essentially, at Lumina Alliance, staff are treated like human beings. They are expected to speak candidly and to provide feedback to one another. They hold each other accountable. It's an office workplace built on respect and humanity. And yeah, that goes a long way when you're working in crisis and dealing with trauma every day.
And they're located in the old KVEC studios.
Yes, they are.
Which was a totally different culture.
Yes, and they also have an office up in Paso.
See, I think Lumina is in great shape. I worry about the small fish.
Yes, yes. And now might be a good time, especially if you're facing leadership changes, to consider a merger. There is a lot of overlap with missions in our community.
Do you predict more of that?
Mergers? I do, and I recommend it. It's not for every organization, but it's a great way to consolidate administration, to reach more people, and it's less confusing for the community.
Let me ask you a fair question. If I'm a struggling nonprofit, how can I afford you?
Yeah, it's a great question. And
I
got
to
really
spend money to make money. Yes.
And again, we work with nonprofits. We can do a relatively affordable needs assessment with you, or we can talk to you about your needs before we're even in contract. So you may come in with this whole list of needs and we can't meet them all based on your budget, but we can help you prioritize and say, let's start here. We can do very small projects. We can do one-off projects. But we are here for nonprofits and we want to work with you. So if you have a question, if you're not sure how to fund it, reach out and we'll make it happen.
Mm. Tell me you're optimistic about the future.
I am optimistic about the future. I know this was kind of a Debbie Downer conversation.
No, but I just agree with you. Nonprofits are important. You gave us the stats.
Yes.
It's important that collectively they survive, although I understand that not all are going to make it.
Yes. No, right. Quickly, thanks to nonprofits, violence is down, hunger is down. Yes, we are going through a rocky period of time, but nonprofits have weathered many periods of time like this in the past, and I'm excited to see where they take us in the future.
I am as well. All right, Jane, one last time with the website, please.
ChangeCollectiveCC.com.
Final thoughts.
If you have questions or you disagree with anything I said, please reach out. We want to talk with and educate the community about the state of nonprofits, and we're excited to get to know you.
All right, Jane, thank you. More Hometown Radio on the way. Stay with us.
Remember when your parents talked to you about the birds and the bees? Well, I'm Dave Congleton, and I want to talk to you about the cats and the dogs. Your cats, your dogs. And a reminder of the need to please spay neuter your pets. Our friends at Cuesta Park Animal Hospital right here in San Luis is making that a bit easier, a bit more affordable. Throughout August, all month long, Cuesta Park Animal Hospital is offering 15% off all spay-neuter procedures. That's right, 15% off. Spay-neuter matters on so many levels. It helps prevent serious illnesses like uterine infections and cancer. Spay-neuter also helps your pets live longer, and it keeps our local county animal shelters from overcrowding. And we all remember what happened to the birds and bees who weren't careful. 15% off all spay-neuters throughout August, only at Cuesta Park Animal Hospital. Hop online and book your appointment today at CuestaParkDVM.com. That's CuestaParkDVM.com. Cuesta Park Animal Hospital, where they treat your pets like family.
Absolute Auto Tech in San Luis Obispo wants to extend thanks to all of their loyal customers over the years. Drive safe on the roads and take the time to maintain your automobiles. You can count on Absolute Auto Tech for high-quality repairs for your safety and safe driving needs. Absolute Auto Tech has been performing auto repair services since 1997 at the corner of Sacramento Drive and Capitolio Way in San Luis Obispo. Come by or call 547-1062. That's 547-1062.
The 920 KVEC Daily Update delivers Central Coast headlines. Info from First Look with Andy Morris. Who's on Hometown Radio with Dave Congleton? Staying informed matters, and so does having the right legal team. Frederick Law stands with you and with the Central Coast for what's fair. Aggressive yet compassionate representation in personal injury, accident victims, landlord-tenant disputes, auto accidents, and even dog bites. Connect with Frederick Law and sign up for the free KVEC Daily Updates now at 920kvec.com.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.